I've been watching hockey since as long as I can remember, since I was, you know, a little wee guy.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities.
I've been watching hockey all through the 70s and 80s. I mean, that's all I did.
On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner and Chad Kraft.
You know, even before my parents deserted me, we used to watch hockey together.
We'll cover Wild, Gophers, Prep, and any puck topics you want to talk about.
Yes, I did want to play in the NHL my whole life. And, you know, I thought if I ever was able to, you know, pay the registration to get into real minor hockey, I think I might have got, you know, I believe I might have went to the show.
Hockey Talk on the Ticket right now. On the Ice on Minnesota's Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
Kids, never do this. This is one of the most dangerous things in hockey. You poke the bear. You poke the bear.
Ovechkin races the into the Minnesota zone. His shot kicked out by Dubnyk. But Ovechkin scores on the rebound. Charlie Coyle to Brodin. Brodin lost it to Kuznetsov, and he scores. Got it to Parisi. Back to Foul, and he scores! And the Capitals score right off the draw. Ovechkin again, his second of the night. Unable to pull it back, and the Capitals will escape St. Paul with a 3-2 win.
And we welcome you to the On the Ice radio show. We thought we were crazy and busy a couple of weeks ago with the state high school hockey tournament. It is on right now. There is so much hockey to talk about, especially right here in the Twin Cities. We are live and on the air on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket, along with David Helmer behind the boards. He's going to be very, very busy today. You ready?
That'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll make it happen. Chad Graff in studio, all dressed up, ready to get down to the XL Energy Center and cover another Wild game. Can I ask you something?
Sure, fire away.
How come we hear such pure joy and glee when the Wild score and then just, it's tough? What is that?
Funny the way that works, huh?
Yeah, I hear you get a lot of comments on that.
I sit right in front of the broadcasters, both home and away, so I can always, it's funny because I'm trying to quickly tweet out what's going on, and behind my left here, I hear Anthony Wapanta, and behind my right here, I hear, you know, whoever the
bellowing,
visiting guy is. So it's one of the two. And Washington, of course, you know, when Ovechkin scored, you get the very big contrast. And so that's always interesting to hear.
Well, so here's my point is, okay, you're already bummed out enough that they scored. I don't need to hear even more bummed out, right? Is that a fair assessment?
Pick me up a little bit.
Yeah, really.
Not that
the other one does, but it's just something I had to point out. I thought it was kind of funny. But with the Minnesota Wild, we're going to talk about that. We've got college hockey. The NCHC is in Minneapolis. The WCHA is in St. Paul. Oh, by the way, the Women's Frozen Four is rolling at Ritter. Tickets are nearly impossible to get. The Patty Kazmaier Awards going on. Our very own Jim Rich is hosting that. The Wild play the St. Louis Blues tonight. And Edina, Junior Gold A, is in the midst of a national championship run against other high school varsity hockey teams.
Just a thing or two going on.
This is like their next, from player 30 to 15.
Just a little bit happening.
Nothing going on.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Wild fall at home by a score of 3-2. Another one goal loss to the Washington Capitals. And the one thing that I wanted to mention is that Alexander Ovechkin, just one man highlight reel, picks up a couple of goals in this game. And, you know, he once again is embarking on another 50 goal season. He has goals number 46 and 47. If he gets his 50th goal, that'll be back to back 50 goal seasons. He had 51 last year. And on his career, he already is a five-time 50-goal scorer, including 65 in 2007-2008. I just wanted to bring that to light because, you know, we hear the names, right, Chad? But this guy is a true superstar. It is not easy to score in this league, in this era. Look at the numbers.
And it's amazing because it's no secret who he is or what he's done. But until you actually watch him, and especially watching him live, and usually I get to see him twice a year, but he didn't. His one game that he sat out was when the Wild went to Washington, D.C., and the Wild won that game.
Yep.
But just watching him the other night, even when he's not near the puck, even when he's not doing anything, your eyes still gravitate to him because he's that good, and you just know that he has that burst. And his first goal was something that, you know, if that happens to any other player, it's this huge deal. What a goal, what a play. And it was a great play, but because it was Alex Ovechkin, it was, oh, well, just another goal from Alex Ovechkin. What else is new?
Another dime, another dozen, right?
It's incredible.
I wonder. I watched them really stifle the Minnesota Wild defensively, really. I mean, they were, you know, Barry Trotz's system is definitely taking hold on that team. And I think oftentimes this has been a hockey team that has really tried to push things offensively and forget about the defensive end. I don't care who the coach has been, but that will not happen under Barry Trotz. And I think if guys like Alexander Ovechkin and Nicklas Backstrom on the Capitals can buy into that, they could be, even though they're a bubble, third seed to a wild card type team in their division, I think they could be very dangerous.
I think that they're an outstanding team. I was a little—I didn't know what to make of it when Trotz got the job in Washington. It was—you know—he obviously coaches such a different system and philosophy than they had been playing. Mm-hmm. But you just look at what they've done. They've got a plus 35 goal differential. That's better than Nashville. We always talk about how good Nashville is. That's better than Nashville. That's better than Pittsburgh. That's better than the Islanders. That's better than Montreal. I mean, this is a no joke team, and that's—we always look at how good the West is, and it certainly is, and in my opinion, it's still much better than the Eastern Conference, but the Capitals are a very good team.
So the difference between Barry Trotz in Washington and Barry Trotz in Nashville is he had Martin Erat and Mike Fisher and, whatever. He's got Ovechkin and Backstrom and a host of players and great defensemen.
Including a couple Minnesotans now, Niskanen and
yes,
Schmidt.
Virginia's very own Nate Schmidt from St. Cloud Cathedral, good point there. But the fact is that the structure they play looked very good. Minnesota was very structured as well, and I thought played well, but the difference was probably the world's best goal scorer in that hockey game.
It certainly was, and what it did was, when the Wild went to Washington, they won a one-goal game, and they won a one-goal game that Alex Ovechkin didn't play in. And the big problem for them, and there have been a few, including their home play, which I'm sure we'll get into, but for them, you look at what these other teams have done and how they've collected their points. Few have done it with as many wins as the Wild. The Wild's problem is that they lose in regulation. All these other teams, L.A., Winnipeg, it's amazing what these teams are doing by just getting to overtime. They could lose 20 seconds into overtime, but they get to overtime, they get the point, and that's how they're keeping pace with the Wild, because the Wild are losing games in regulation.
They're nipping away at points, absolutely, and they also have wins in regulation, which of course is your key tiebreaker there, which helps. I mean, they're very good in that capacity. But the heavy theme we're going to have here on today's show when we talk about the Wild is going to be the one goal games. Obviously that's game to game, but that this is, the fact is they're in playoff style games, which are very tightly contested, and that is to be expected, especially from, let's say, January 15 on. And this is really what this team's been in. So we're going to hear from a lot of the players that have talked about what it's like to be in that. And right here, we're going to hear Mike Yeo talk about at home, why they have suffered these one-goal losses, and he kind of addresses that issue a little bit.
And I was, even before the game, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at some games in there where I think we deserve better. I think we deserve better. The Edmonton game, the Colorado game, could argue the Anaheim game. But similar, it's a similar trend even tonight in all these games. Like you said, it's a one-goal game, and I find that a lot of these games we're making kind of one big mistake there's a couple breakdowns that we're making that we haven't been making on the road lately. Probably had a little bit more patience in our game, but I think probably more so than that, it's offensively, I don't think we've been getting as much. And I think maybe that some of that might be a little bit of a different mentality coming back home. You'd like to think that you can get more than two goals at home. And I look back at our last two losses, and we only have one 5-on-5 goal in our last two games. So that to me is probably the big reason why we're winless in our last 2 years.
You talk about the big mistake, and they're all amplified. And if you turn one puck over, boom, it's in the back of the net. And it's really difficult with the way teams tighten up to get that goal back. So, but that's part of the game. And that's part of what teams do, is they force you to make mistakes. Nate Prosser's been out of the lineup. And I think when he's been in the lineup, he's been one of the best kept secrets for this team.
That's been amazing. Look back to the beginning of the season. The Wild didn't re-sign him over the summer. They claimed him off of waivers when the St. Louis Blues sent him down. So all of a sudden, Nate Prosser back in the fold, and he went through another stretch, a little bit of a stretch where he wasn't playing much, and he's become accustomed to that with the Wild. Wild. Last season, he was the guy who was riding the pine, riding the bench for a long time. And you look at what he did, and I think he masked a lot of the problems that have existed on the third defensive pairing. He's been elevated into bigger minutes when guys like Marco Scandella and Jared Spurgeon and even Brodin to an extent have been out. So Nate Prosser was outstanding, a very physical, well-kept secret on the Wild's third defensive pairing. So going forward, they've got to find some rotation on the third defensive pairing, and it's tough because you look at the three guys who are there. Marco Scandella comes back today from injury. A little bit later,
very
we
helpful.
Can get into what that might mean, but he'll be back, so that means your top four is set. So for the third defensive pairing, you're looking at Matt Dumba, who's definitely in. I think it's fair to say he's got to. He's been outstanding the last couple weeks. So then it comes down to Jordan Leopold or Christian Follin. And right now they don't want Christian Follin on the third defensive pairing because they don't want him playing with Matt Dumba, and they don't want
two rookies there
with the same shot. So, you know, it's a tough situation. That's why they're going to go with Jordan Leopold over Christian Follin today.
So the St. Louis Blues are in town, and that's going to probably be another bruising, hard-hitting, close one-goal game. And one of the things that you talked to Kyle Brodziak about was every game being tight, especially come playoff time.
Is it mentally tiring, or how do you look at the last 2 months where every game has felt like a playoff game or a must-win game?
No, it's the way it has been the last few years, so I think guys by now are used to it.
Yeah.
Expect it at this time of the year. It's when, you know, once basically mid-February hits, that's when the grind really starts. And I think guys are ready for that and mentally prepare themselves for it. So.
Last few years, is this something this club's getting used to?
That's a frightening thought. I mean,
really?
This was supposed to be the season that the Wild weren't in this position, and I know that right now they're framing it as a positive. We're going to be going in with a playoff mentality and all of that, but at the end of the day, while the stretch has been incredible since they got Devin Dubnyk, while everything has gone tremendously since January 15th, the Wild only have a 2-point cushion because of the big hole that they dug themselves, and this was supposed to be the season that didn't happen. At the beginning of the season, they stressed so much, this is the year, we're not going to do that to ourselves, we're not going to go through that lull midway through the season that they seem to always, you know, have gone under basically the last four seasons. Sure enough, though, the goaltending got shaky. They couldn't recover from that. And it's taken this incredible stretch just to get to the point where there are 11 games left, and while they have the best record in the NHL since January 15th, they're still not and nowhere near assured a playoff spot.
Is this a cause for concern of late, the results at home versus on the road, or is that being overblown from your perspective?
I mean, it's definitely a topic. I don't think it's being overblown. I think that players and coaches are sick of hearing about it. But at the end of the day, just win at
home.
Get
the results. You won't hear about it. I mean, you win, you won't hear about it.
And the thing is, they haven't been scoring. They haven't been scoring 5-on-5. They haven't been scoring, you know, in most situations at home. And when they go on the road, if we're being honest, they've been outplayed in some of their recent road games. They've just earned victories because Devin Dubnyk was so good. Look back to when they went to St. Louis, who, of course, they're playing today. Devin Dubnyk stole them the game with 40. I mean, they were outshot something like 44-20. You look at Nashville, they were severely outshot and probably weren't the better team in that game. But they've stolen games on the road because of Devin Dubnyk, and he's been able to. But at home, while Devin Dubnyk's still very good, they just haven't been able to score enough goals.
Stay tuned, because on our last segment, we're going to talk about the playoff picture, the Wild's prognosis for that, who their big opponents are really for that final spot. But now we're going to turn our attentions after the break to the college hockey playoffs as they have been dialed in. All that, Brent Flair for the Minnesota Wild coming up too. Stay tuned. This is the On the Ice Radio Show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. And welcome back to the On the Ice Radio Show. We are ripping through the serious hockey action. And, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, you think of hockey season in this town, it seems like people sort of have the light switch go off around Thanksgiving time.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And it's, you know, now they're kind of in that mode. They get out of the Vikings mode type deal because it's time. Then you know, usually this sort of happens, but it's all happening right here with the NCHC, the WCHA, the Women's Frozen Four. With the Wild playing the way they are, and what am I missing?
The one thing that's not here, the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, and where's that at?
That would be in so-called Hockey Town, USA.
Keyword, they should strip that from center ice.
Did you see the picture of, I think Gopher State tweeted it yesterday, picture of what the Gopher, attendance looked like?
Yeah, Gopher, was it Gopher State Live or Gopher Puck Live or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was, they had a, I saw one tweet where the Gophers were knee down at center ice, and they said, Minnesota preparing for game-like conditions at Joe Louis Arena.
Empty seats behind them.
It was incredible. I mean, literally, Tim, you saw those pictures. You were all over those tweets. Tim Kolomainen, we're going to bring you on in here. You were at the WCHA with me last night. And one of the things we saw in those images were, I said, I think if like a couple of squirt teams were playing just for fun, that's about what it looked like for one of those games. And I'm not kidding.
That is absolutely what it looked like. You know what? I was looking, we saw Michigan Tech. I love, by the way, I love that Michigan Tech band. There may have been more Michigan Tech band members in the stands at the WCHA than there were total fans at the Big Ten tournament.
I think it's fair, and of course you say that because you're an alumnus, and you told me you used to play the trumpet.
I did. I wore the you know those bumblebee striped coveralls. I wore those back
in
the day.
Oh man, the bumble that says enough. Please don't go anymore. we're good there. Well, let's take a look at those playoffs first. Michigan Tech now picks up a big win. They stand at number 4 in the Division I pairwise rankings. Their 5-2 win over Bowling Green was sparked by Delano native Tyler Hainanen. He had 2 goals and an assist, and that's a guy, Tim, that you and I have covered quite extensively, especially you with your Breakdown Sports USA. No surprise there that he was delivering in the clutch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Delano kid there, you know, a big-bodied kid, but really skilled, too. You could see when he was playing in high school that he had a definite college potential in his future.
And when
he's showing it now, you know, coming up big for Michigan Tech.
And his winger, David Johnstone, helps out with 3 assists. Goaltender and Mike Richter finalist Jamie Phillips made 22 saves for the win. He had some adversity he was going through. He wasn't feeling well in that one. We heard from former Edina East star and coach Mel Pearson. He was impressed with the effort of his goaltender.
Jamie Phillips was outstanding. He's been, from day one, rock solid for our team. He's, you know, there's a reason he's the finalist for the Mike Richter Award, and he made a key save in games 2-1. They make a great play backdoor, and he throws on his pad there. But he's been solid for us all year. And, you know, we had some lapses tonight, and, you know, we have to play better wherever we play tomorrow, but he's been great from day one, and, you know, he's been fighting flu. He didn't practice for 3 days this week, so a lot of people weren't sure we were going to start. We weren't sure he had the energy to play tonight, and there you go. That's what we get. So it's going to be a great decision.
What's with goalies and the flu, Chad Graff, a la Nick Backstrom and Darcy Kemper back in the day? Now we've got Jamie Phillips.
Seems to affect everybody.
The goalies.
You were a goalie. You were taking some Dayquil not too long ago.
Yeah, I had a little, much better, wouldn't you say?
Yes, all better.
But a little cough. I looked over at you and I said, week 8.
Yes, no, that was
so
terrific.
Every Tuesday, my smart Alex son will say, week 9, you know, because he says I spend more time worrying about that. But, Tim, this was a game in which Bowling Green, 18th, or like right on the bubble with Massachusetts Lowell, and they're with Quinnipiac and Providence on the bubble right now, depending upon how things shake down over these final days. But they did have their moments where Bowling Green had their moments.
Yeah, they did. You know, Tech had a 2-1 lead early in the third period, and Bowling Green really came out of the locker room fired up. They tied that thing up early in the third, and I thought, well, we've got a game here. And I had seemed to wake Michigan Tech up, and they scored 3 unanswered goals after that and kind of ran away with it. But, yeah, I mean, we get the matchup we really want tonight, you know, the Michigan Tech, Minnesota State matchup tonight. And I think that's what everybody wanted, and it should be a great game. But what it might do is it might knock Bowling Green out of the NCAAs. Like you said, they're right in the bubble. And I kind of see, you know, any kind of an upset you might get in any of the other tournaments going on, and Bowling Green's kind of, they're going to be watching at home, I think, probably.
Minnesota State now won because North Dakota lost. We'll get into that in a minute. But first, real quick, I want to touch base with the hometown boy, Tyler Hainanen, saying how great it was to be back at the Xcel Energy Center. Actually, his first game in that building.
Yeah, it's fun to be back with friends and family in the stands, and a lot better to get the win when they're in the stands.
Indeed it was, and speaking of being back, Mike Hastings, of course, with his great history, of course, a little bit of University of Minnesota and all the other things that he's done. His Minnesota State team was very impressive against Ferris State, who's given that team fits all year long. Brad McClure had two goals in his team's win. He also had an assist. Stephon Williams made 25 saves and goal. The New York Islander product earned a school record 10th shutout. The Mavericks are now 28-7-3, and with North Dakota's loss last night, have the top spot in the pairwise. Coach Mike Hastings talked about what that really means. Cut to.
Well, I think that'll be figured out sometime tomorrow night. I've got a lot of respect for North Dakota and what's going on across the river. And I've got a lot of respect for what's facing us tomorrow night. Texas got a hockey team as there is in the country. I think we all staff's done a great job, and they, you know what, they can roll four lines, they roll six defensemen, they've got, again, I'm partial to the guy that's over on my far left, but I got a lot of respect for their goaltender too. And so, you know what, there's enough on our plate with that, and we'll see what happens, and sometime tomorrow night we'll have an idea where we stand.
The lot of respect he has, what's going on the other side of the river at Target Center is the NCHC playoffs. Right now, there are six teams in the top 16 of the pairwise. If you look it down, you've got North Dakota in at number two. You've got Miami, Minnesota Duluth at five, Miami at six, Denver at seven, Nebraska Omaha at eight, and St. Cloud State at nine. You think, guys, they kind of like those guys?
Oof.
I mean, the love fest continues for them, right? Tim, you with us?
Yeah. That's huge. You know, we talked about that last night. St. Cloud State in that nine spot with only a 19-17-1 record. And we said, well, they must have some, you know, some big wins on there, some key ones to get ranked that high. And obviously they got five teams ahead of them in the conference. So just head-to-head matchups alone, winning half of those, you're going to be ranked up that high when you've got teams like that in there.
Clearly what it's showing. And, you know, the team that I think, though, that has really consistently stood out, I mean, Michigan Tech has been rock solid. So has Minnesota State. And the one thing that he talked about, Mike Hastings talked about the depth that you're going to see from the Michigan Tech Huskies. Well, he's got a lot of depth on his team, too, and he discussed that as well.
I think the responsibility gets shared, and nobody feels like they're trying to carry the club. Again, I think that comes from our senior leadership, our juniors, where there's a lot of we and not a lot of me in the locker room, and that's enjoyable to come to work with every day because they don't mind sharing the workload. And it's been a positive for us. I think we hope that's something that's going to help us tomorrow play at 7:30 and turn around playing at 6. We better have some depth. Because that's a pretty quick turnaround for us.
By the way, thank you to Nick Kelly for grabbing all of those sound bites for us. We appreciate his efforts at the tournament there. In the NCHC, St. Cloud State is playing in the final against Miami of Ohio. The Huskies defeat North Dakota by a score of 3-1. David Morley, Joey Bennick, and Joe Raykamp all had the goals for the Huskies. They had two goals. This is the most important part, Tim Kolomainen. In the last minute of the first period, 19 seconds apart, which would prove to be the game winner, that gave them the 2-1 lead after Keaton Thompson gave North Dakota the 1-0 lead in the first period. Husky goalie Charlie Lindgren had 19 saves in the win. As you mentioned earlier, St. Cloud State is now 19-17-1. Good enough for ninth place in the pairwise. North Dakota is now 27-8-3, second in the pairwise. And some of the talk throughout the upper reaches of the XL Energy Center was, oh, here goes North Dakota again. They said they're choking in the playoffs.
Yeah, we ran into our good friend Jerry Burrow. He was mentioning... He commented to me. He said, North Dakota, yeah, sure, they were ranked number one and everything, but he said, I just don't feel like that team's as powerful as some past North Dakota teams that would have been in that one spot. I don't know. Yeah, that game last night turned on a dime. It was 1-0 North Dakota until, you know, 25 seconds left in the first, and then David Morley scored, and then, you know, 19 seconds later, Joey Bennick, the St. Francis kid, got a goal, and suddenly that was a totally different game, and North Dakota just kind of folded up the tent there, I guess.
They will face off at 7:38 tonight, St. Cloud State in Miami, as they will square up once again. It looks like they're just settling in on final positioning for that. In the Big Ten, in the very vacant Big Ten playoffs, by the way, that was going on. Minnesota shuts out Penn State by a score of 3-0. Sam Warning, Vinny Lettieri, and Travis Boyd with the empty netter. Boyd also had an assist assist in that one. Adam Wilcox with the 39 save shutout. Minnesota, by the way, outshot 39-23 in that game. The shutout is the 13th of Wilcox's career. That ties him with Kellen Briggs on the all-time list. And they entered the day 13th and really needed that game in the pairwise, as it did help move them up to 10. Michigan defeated Michigan State 4-1. Michigan is now 22-14-0. They're 19th. They got a win today to get in. So how bad, boys, is the Big Ten? I mean, it is atrocious. I mean, those are some name schools. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, you know, they're fine. I mean, they've been in and out with the CCHA stuff. Penn State is up and coming. But Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, just nowhere even in the zip code.
We made fun of the attendance there, but we should be making fun of those teams. I mean, what Wisconsin is no surprise. We've known that they've been bad for a long time. I just still, even at this point, don't understand how they can be this bad with that much talent.
Tim, the Minnesota Golden Gophers turned their season around by beating up on the Big Ten and winning the big games they needed to after they were kind of struggling in the early going of that schedule. Is this something that team can hang its hat on, or do you think they're going to run into buzzsaws when they get into that NCAA tournament?
Well, that's tough to know. I mean, that's a team with a lot of talent. There's no reason they shouldn't be us. I mean, there's no reason they should be on the bubble. I mean, we talked about that last night. Whether the Big Ten is actually, like, if Michigan were to beat Minnesota tonight, would Michigan get the only bid and Minnesota be left out of the cold? You know, is the Big Ten really a two-bid league, or is it just a one-bid? Does Minnesota have to win to get in?
I think they're pretty much in now at 10. They've got 22-12-3 record. They should be fine there. Real quick note here, the Patty Kazmaier Award is going on right now. Our very own Jim Rich from Fox 9 is the MC of that. Minnesota defeats Wisconsin 3-1. Harvard beats Boston College 2-1. The Gophers are looking for their fifth national championship in women's hockey in the Frozen Four. That at Ritter. Tickets are very difficult to get. The play-by-play can be heard right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. That'll be a 2:45 pregame with the 3 o'clock face-off. I'll give you a little more nuggets on that in our final segment. It'll be the Gophers and Harvard. The Gophers are 3-0, or 2-0, rather, against Harvard. Did I put the cart in front of the horse?
Well, not yet. We'll find out.
2-0 all time in NCAA final game history against them. Tim, thanks for joining us here today. Brent Flair for the Minnesota Wild, the assistant general manager, joins us. We'll talk Wild and more. This is the On the Ice Radio Show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. This show is just absolutely flying by, Chagraff.
9:34.
I know. We got so much to cover, but so little time. But I think that makes for a nice, tight, action-packed show. I mean, if there is such a thing.
I don't know if there's such a thing for us.
We're talking, so that, right. How fast can it be? Brent Flair joins us from Minnesota Wild. He's the assistant general manager on a game day Saturday morning. Thanks for being with us this early in the morning, Mr. Flair. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Brent, just want to get started. You guys have the St. Louis Blues today. When you're playing as you have of late, you've played teams like Nashville, teams like Anaheim, and you know today the second of three meetings with St. Louis. How much are you studying these games to see how you might fit in a potential playoff series with these guys?
Well, I think a little bit of that in your back of your mind, but really we're just concentrating on winning every game we can and getting in. It's a grind. We got a lot of good teams in our conference and our division, and we have a tough schedule. But you know, we're competing. We're hanging in there, and we seem to be getting better in most games. So you know, it's an exciting time for us. We're coming into our own, we think, and hopefully the best is yet to come.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about over the past few weeks about the Anaheim, St. Louis, even LA of the world and the West, and you know how strong they are as teams physically, and the addition of Chris Stewart clearly, from my perspective, has helped address that need from a front office and on ice perspective. Has he fit the bill for what you're expecting from him?
Yeah, he has. You know, obviously, what he brings is a dimension that we didn't have with his toughness, and people forget he's a pretty good player as well. Like, he has the hands, he has the skill to play with good players and play in an important role. So he's obviously highly motivated coming to a different team and has a lot to prove for himself, and you know, we're excited to have him on board. He certainly makes a difference.
He's kind of like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, in regards to the big Western teams, we, our size is a little underrated too. We obviously have some smaller guys, but our smaller guys in Parise and Granlund are highly competitive, highly skilled guys, and you know, Coils and Niederreiters and a number of our players. We feel like we're getting to be a bigger team, and we're more than confident to be able to hang in with all these other teams.
Chatting with Minnesota Wild assistant general manager Brent Flay here on 105 The Ticket. Brent, the season sort of turned around for you around January 14th, which just so happens to be the date that you traded for Devan Dubnyk. I think it's no question when people look at that how successful that trade has been. You guys have the best record in the NHL since then. But looking back to that, how much at that time were you looking at other goalies? How much were, you know, I don't know, was Devan Dubnyk, you know, always the number one guy, or were there other options that you were looking at and Devan Dubnyk just happened to work out?
Yeah, we talked to a number of different teams. It's hard trading for a goalie partway through the year, to be honest with you. And, worked with Arizona and that they had, you know, Mike Smith as the number one, and Dubnyk was a UFA at the end of the year, so they were willing to move him in their situation. And just worked out, especially the timing wise, and the other team. You know, we did our due diligence. We checked with other teams to see who might be available, but Dubnyk was the best fit for us, and we were able to get him, which was great.
I know it's you probably don't want to show your hand on that and how that all works, but is this something where you think that UFA tag can be maintained by the Minnesota Wild? They'll come that time.
Sure. You know, obviously he seems to be very happy here, and it's been a good fit, and obviously if you can make things work, great. But there's a lot of hockey to be played here yet, and we'll figure it out later.
On that note with contracts, now that we're this late in the season, with pending free agents, when you get to this point, is it basically let's wait and see what happens down the stretch and in the playoffs and sort of reevaluate after that?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, it's just better to hold off. Just so, you know, it's not playing in a player's mind when you're, you know, playing the games, and things always sort themselves out, and you know, we try to get them done prior to the year or early in the season, and obviously if there's something simple that can be done, and we would certainly consider it, but otherwise I think Chuck's decision would be just to wait till after the season.
We are speaking with Wild Assistant General Manager Brent Flair. This is the On the Ice radio show on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket, along with Chad Graff, David Helmer, I'm Pete Wagner. And Brent, from an unrestricted collegiate player free agent status, obviously it's coming to that time of the year. How much of your time is spent looking at that, and what does this year's crop look like? Is there players that can be that are being duked out for?
It's a little thinner group this year, to be honest with you. There's no Follin, and you know, last couple of years there's been a couple higher, you know, notably higher in guys, and this year there's a few guys, a number of guys will be signed, but there's no impact guys that are gonna really that we feel that have come chance to play right away. So there's a couple guys that, you know, you can put in your system and hope to develop them, but like I said, I think it's a bit of a lighter crop in comparison to years past.
This afternoon, you guys get Marco Scandella back. It'll be the first time since February that you guys have had your top four intact. How important is that, those top four defensemen, and how good you guys have been when they've all been healthy? How important is that going down the stretch and into a playoff series?
Well, it's huge, and getting Marco on the back end is a big boost for us. He's such a big, strong guy, and his mobility and his, you know, ability to play against top players really gives us some flexibility when in use of your other, you know, decor. So obviously with, Brodin and Suter and Spurgeon and the way Dumba stepped up and even Follin and our back end, when healthy, could be as good as any out there.
You know, with Marco Scandella, we've seen his improvement just increase steadily. And it seems as though, I mean, has he even hit his ceiling yet, or is there more to go for him?
Yeah, I think there's more to go. You know, his defense is a tough position, and I know, it's even hockey personnel, but fans, and they want to see the defensemen really step up the game. You know, but these kids are young, and it's a position that takes a long time to learn. There's very few Brodins that can step in and play at that level at a young age. There's takes a lot of games to get their rhythm and to understand what you get away with, what you can do. And obviously Marco is, taking some steps, and He took a huge step this year, and you know, he's a big part of our core going forward.
There aren't many rookie defensemen who can step in like Brodin, as you mentioned, but Matt Dumba this season, 20 years old. Ever since he went down to the AHL in late November and spent some time down there, it just seems like he's been, you know, outstanding. He's been filling in for Marco Scandella. He leads all rookies in plus-minus. How pleased have you guys been with the development, especially in the last couple months, of Matt Dumba?
Yeah, it's huge. But, you know, you've spent some time meeting Matt, and you understand his head works. He's a highly competitive kid. He wants to be a difference maker every night. And obviously with his skill set, he has a chance to have a big impact in games. And, you know, that's why we drafted him initially. And we knew he was going to take some time just to adjust. And, you know, the biggest thing for him was, you know, he didn't have to win the game every shift and, you know, learn to play and, you know, defend and, you know, when to take chances, when not to. And, but, you know, Torch did a great job with him when he was down in Iowa and played big minutes and got his game together, got confident, and when he got the chance to come back up, he excelled, and he seems to be getting better every game.
Devin Dubnyk, this afternoon, I suppose, will be start number 30. He keeps saying he's healthy and ready to go. Mike Yeo says he's healthy and ready to go. Is there a chance, you think, that we see Devin Dubnyk starting in the remainder of, 11 games left that you guys have?
Well, it's possible. You know, it's up to the coaches, but you know, it depends on, you know, his workload, and obviously if it's, you know, a day in between games and get rest and he feels good, and then he'll play. And, you know, if we have back-to-backs and he feels tired or whatever, then we'll come back with somebody else. So that's going to be a game-to-game decision, but at this time he feels good, and as long as he feels good, and he'll likely play.
Wild assistant general manager Brent Flair, you obviously have one hand on the scouting side getting ready for this. Also, you know, here with the Wild as you make this push, what is this time of year like for you? How much are you still monitoring what's going on in the amateur scene versus how much are you, you know, sort of dialed in with what's going on with your team down the stretch?
Well, certainly, you know, close attention to the Wild and their games, but at the same time, I've been out on the road quite a bit. Preparing for the draft and trying to help our staff, and you know, the draft is a big, you know, the big thing with the NHL, and you know, if you don't draft well, it's a tough goal going forward. So our staff does a great job, and I try to just help them down the stretch.
Time for one more quick question for you, Brent. We talked about the college crop. How's the draft from round one to round seven this year shaking down in perspective to recent years?
Obviously, the top end of this draft is very well publicized. David and I call it the top end. It's a pretty special pairing there. You don't see very often, but. You know, going down late in the first round, there is some depth, and, you know, we could get a quality player wherever we're picking. You know, it looks like a decent draft. It's not, in the late rounds, you know, it's going to be,
you're getting impact players, but our guys do a pretty good job of identifying, you know, talent and projecting, maybe some later bloomers and things like that. So, that's kind of what we're doing right now, and chasing all these kids before the junior season ends, and hopefully we'll have some success.
Brent, thank you for joining the show, and as always, we appreciate your time, and good luck this afternoon against those St. Louis Blues.
All right, guys, thanks very much.
That was Brent Flair of Minnesota Wild. We'll be back with more coming up. We're going to take a look at the playoff perspectives here, a little bit of the Golden Gopher Women's Frozen Four looking for another national championship right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. One of my favorite songs of all time. I had to put it in here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Little Bon Scott tribute. Hey, who's that guy over there?
Yeah, we got Justin in there just sitting there eagerly awaiting phone calls, and we just never give out the
two
phone
weeks
number
in a row,
for some reason.
Completely, because we're snobs.
Should we try?
We just blow off the listeners. Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call. Justin needs something to do. I feel like Jerry Lewis telethon right now. 651-989-9105 if you want to talk some hockey in our final segment. That's 651-989-9105. Give me a follow at the Wagon Train 27, and Chad, for you.
At Chad Graff, two Fs at the end.
How about you, David?
I'm still at Viking Dave 105.
Perfect. pretty soon we'll change it to
Wild.
At Wild,
Wild Dave.
That sounds too good. Real quick, the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher women's hockey team will be taking on the Harvard Crimson today in the national championship. The Gophers looking for their fifth national championship title of their all time. Is it fifth or sixth? Sixth, isn't it? It should be in that paragraph right there. Also, it's their fourth straight national championship game, all under Brad Frost here, four straight under him. That's going to be their sixth. Game is at 3 o'clock. Hannah Brandt had a goal and two assists. She now has 73 points in the year to go, 33 goals, 40 assists. That in 39 games played. She's a Patty Kazmaier Award finalist, that being named right now. They take on the Crimson of Harvard, who lost twice to Gophers in final games, 6-2 in 2004, 4-3 in 2005, and Harvard is 0-3 all-time in final games. By the way, got to mention Edina High School, or Edina Junior Gold A team, now 2-0 in pool play of the high school hockey national championships because they're USA Hockey certified, registered. Our high school hockey teams aren't. They have the ability to play for a national championship.
That's
and they're getting
weekend?
It done. Yeah. They came off that 7 overtime thriller against Wayzata to qualify, and here they are carving up the competition. Now, I've been told once they get through pool play, things might get a little more difficult for them.
Huh. How many overtimes did you say? I'm still trying to catch up on that.
7.
I'm having a tough time comprehending that. 7 overtimes.
Yeah, it wasn't full-time ones, so right. I don't know what the timing was. If it
I don't
was
care
like,
if they're 3-minute overtimes.
7 times you blew a buzzer, and you had it, or 6 times you had it, I get back in and not make a mistake.
Huh. Speaking of those Gopher women, a few former Gopher women are on Long Island right now training before they head off to Sweden for the World Championships, which I didn't know about until I was calling the Long Island hotel that I'll be staying at. And they said that the women's team is there training, and they'll be leaving New York before too long to head over to Sweden for the World Championships. Exactly.
That's awesome. Those are coming up in the men's, obviously, too, as well as we start to shake that one down. One of the other things that I wanted to mention on that Kazmaier. Boston College's Alex Carpenter and BU's Philippe Poulin are the finalists. Carpenter, by the way, her father? Bobby yep. Carpenter.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, small that's
world.
Cool.
Remember that? He came out of the box, the number one overall pick, yep. was sort of a bust, and then found his game under Jacques Lemaire with the New Jersey Devils, if you remember.
I remember the name. I remember Jacques Lemaire.
Were you running around in diapers back in that
day? I don't know where
day?
I was.
I know you were, David Helmer.
I'm still wearing diapers.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get back on the Wild now. Obviously, they have the St. Louis Blues coming up, and you take a look at the standings as they are now. Minnesota's the top wild card team with 85 points, 71 games played. That means they have 11 more to go. Winnipeg is not going away. Now, they've won 3 in a row. They have 84 points, another Central Division foe. The next closest team is Los Angeles. They've got 70 games played. A win with them ties them with Winnipeg. So the question to you, Chad, is from your travels, who looks to be the odd team out among this? Vancouver is in second with 84 in the Pacific Division. Calgary is third with 83 in the Pacific Division. And Los Angeles is fourth in the Pacific with 82, but right behind Winnipeg and Minnesota. So all of those teams, who do you think the odd team out is in that whole mix?
For a long time, I thought that it was a three-team race, basically Calgary, Winnipeg, and Los Angeles. But Vancouver has slipped a little bit. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They've got 84 points. Their goal differential is the lowest among all of those teams. They've got a game in hand, as does LA, but I don't think that Vancouver is necessarily, you know, anywhere near as safe as they were. I do think that they'll probably get in. In my opinion, it comes down to one of Calgary, Winnipeg, and Los Angeles. Of those, you know, original four, I think Vancouver probably gets in. I think LA, you know, the way that they've been playing has been very good of late. I think that they end up catching Calgary and will get that third spot in the division. And then after that, you know, I think that it comes down to Winnipeg and Calgary. And what's been amazing to me is Calgary, you look at their advanced stats, there are many indications that Calgary is not as good as, you know, they've been playing, but it's a team that always seems to find a way to win. They get good enough goaltending. They're very good in the third period. They've got a lot of young guys who haven't been in this situation before, but in a lot of ways, that's kind of helped them. They just go out and they don't care what the score is in the third period. They're a very good third period team. So I think
they've worked through that Giordano. They've worked through that Giordano injury,
and he's an incredible player. So it's amazing that they've been able to go on the run that they have, even without one of the NHL's best defensemen.
Well, so from Calgary, I think we've all been waiting for them to fail. And here we are now with 11 games left, and they're entrenched. You know, interesting. Are you going homer? You never mentioned Minnesota as being an odd team out there. I mean, what's going on there?
Well,
and they're probably not, but I mean, it's not a given.
It's not a given. I think that, you know, I've heard a lot in emails and tweets of late that fans are upset with, you know, the NHL, of course, unveils this new playoff system for a year ago, and everybody thinks that it's outstanding, and I still do think it's outstanding. But when you're a team like Minnesota, or when you're a fan of the Minnesota Wild, a season like this can be kind of frustrating where you look at it. The Wild have 85 points. That would be good enough for second in the Pacific Division. Instead, they're in the wild card race. I think that the Wild are going to end up being okay. I think that they are going to make the playoffs. They've got 11 games left. Granted, two of them are against St. Louis, and they rarely seem to play well against St. Louis. But of their remaining 11 games, they likely need 5 or 6 wins to get them in. 5 wins and maybe an overtime loss or two, or 6 wins, and they're probably in the playoffs. So
at a minimum,
I think the Wild are okay.
I think at a minimum. I think this year maybe, I mean, I know we're the magic number is 94, 95 points, but it might be 97 this year.
The pace has bumped up. It's up to 96 now.
See, teams aren't losing.
Right.
And that's the thing that's interesting. Now, do you think there would be a lot of cannibalizing going on with those Pacific Division teams as they come down the stretch? Somebody's got to beat somebody. As long as they're, as you said earlier, not in regulation.
Right. And that's the big thing if you're a Wild fan. At this point, if you're a Wild fan, it doesn't matter to you who wins or loses those head-to-head matchups as long as they end in 60 minutes. You shouldn't care who wins. Just don't let it become a three-point game where both teams are getting a point.
I was watching Anaheim, Los Angeles the other night, and it went into overtime. And I thought it was, and I'm like, oh, great.
And only LA could get a point in that game. That was a game.
Why
that
does
they
that team
have,
bug me so much?
They always have for you. I know.
They just bug me. I don't know. I don't know if it's you know what it is that Jeff Carter decides to start playing right about now.
Yeah,
he's like one of the hottest goal scorers again. You know what's been an interesting thing is Chad. I pointed out that a while ago I felt as though Chicago was within the Wild's midst, and really felt that was a great opportunity when Patrick Kane went down. All the Hawks have done is get better.
It's I mean that's Chicago for you. They may have a little bit of a lull when, you know, this is a team that's got Olympic gold winners and Stanley Cup winners. They know when to turn it on at the right time. The Chicago Blackhawks, hottest team in the Western Conference, 8-1-1 their last 10, 4 straight wins. All of a sudden, Chicago, it looks like, could jump into the second spot in the Central, and they'd be hosting Nashville. And whoever plays Nashville, I've seen Nashville a couple times in the last few weeks. I don't think Nashville gets out of the first round, so whoever gets Nashville, I think, should be very happy.
Is it the Peter Laviolette factor?
I don't know. It's his first season. You should be able to still have the guys after the first season.
Two, three seasons.
I think that they were just overachieving a little bit. Their defensemen are great, but I'm not yet sold on their top six.
It's going to be a tough deal. Devin Dubnyk knows it. This is a little thing for us to hear about what the Wild are thinking right now.
I think it just shows out how difficult it is. You know, it's crazy how tough. I guess that's why it's so important to not get behind. You know, because you realize how difficult it is when you can go on a run like we have. And, you know, we've climbed a long way, but we still can never really seem to get any sort of cushion. You know, you continue to win, but, you know, they're all good teams and they all continue to win. So, fortunately for us, I think, you know, we're in a good spot where if we keep getting points, then, you know, we'll be in. So, you know, it's a tough place to be chasing right now. Not to say that, you know, it's impossible if you're chasing, but it's definitely a much better spot to be in than we're in. So, we just got to keep getting points.
They control their destiny, and when they have, I get nervous as a fan and as an announcer. I throw the eyebrow. They seem to like to chase. They seem to like to be the underdog, even within games. Does it seem to you as though they get down? I mean, this is a team that can be down 1 and 2 goals in the third period in the National Hockey League. That's hard to do. They come back.
They were 3-3 in their last 6 games before the Washington game. They were 3-3, now 3-4 in their last 7 games when trailing after 2 periods. And that may not sound like a lot, but in the NHL. NHL, when you come back from, you know, any sort of deficit after two periods, it's a very big deal. So to even be 500 is remarkable and probably a pace that, you know, they can't keep up. So when the Wild were winning all of those games, both at home and on the road, which they haven't, of course, done in St. Paul, they've been doing it by jumping out early, by they scored the game's first goal in something like 25 of 28 games. It was a ridiculous pace. And that's when the Wild are good, when they come out and they dictate the pace and they get an early lead and let Devan Dubnyk do the rest.
But can they be chasing this much this long, and does it take its toll?
Well, that you would think that it would take its toll, but you would also think that 29 straight games in net would take its toll on Devan Dubnyk, and so far ridiculous. No signs of rest there. And, you know, at this point, unless the Wild get to the point where they have games in hand and the games at the end don't matter, I think Devan Dubnyk starts 40 straight games for the Wild to take them into the playoffs.
So, quick synopsis. We went over the teams that you think are going to be out come playoff time. Which team is the team that doesn't make it out of that group we talked about?
I think Winnipeg's out.
Oh. Oh. Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I am far from sure.
I'm going to put you under the witness protection plan right now. You just absolutely sealed the deal there.
I think Los Angeles is going to fall short.
Oof. I don't know. I think Los Angeles is good to go.
I know, but I'm going to say they're going to fall short. Just feel a little bit different.
All right.
The witness protection program thing. I want to leave this building.
Yeah, exactly.
You know those Jets fans.
There are no Kings fans outside here, I'll tell
you that.
That's
my point. That's going to do it. David Helmer, great work. Justin, thanks for answering those phones. For Chad Graff, I'm Pete Wagner. Have a great week. So long, everybody.